This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
R&B money! We up! Tank. Jay Valentine. We are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast.
Yeah.
Where we are the authority. Mm-hmm. On all things R&B.
Make sure the lights are on.
Are the lights on?
I think they're on.
Okay. Because when you talk this talk, the lights got to be on.
Yeah.
You know, there are some individuals, right? And when you are working with these individuals, when you are in the presence of these individuals, you just shut the fuck up and do what they tell you to do. Okay? It's rare, but there are those people.
Yes.
And one of them is here today. Our brother, Mr. Rico Love.
Yeah.
In the building. Yeah.
What up?
Listen, man, I can count on one hand the people who have vocal produced me. I might can count on an alien hand. What is that, three fingers?
I think they got four because they count in fours.
They count in threes.
They count in threes?
Yes.
Well, I know another alien that counts in four. That's why I'm going 4x8x. Yes, alien talk, see?
Three.
Boy.
Binary code. Microchips. We'll talk. It's rare. And not even just from a vocal production standpoint, but... just an overall understanding and idea of where a song should go, and to be able to sit up under you, pause, and just take those notes and instructions word for word, line for line. Like, I felt great in that space.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? I felt like I was in school and I was learning something, and at the end of this semester, I was going to graduate.
And what's crazy was when I started the session with you after I wrote the song,
I was about to step out. You in the booth. You said, whoa, where you going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said, where you going? You're like, nah. And then you just let me lead. That was amazing. That was a great, great moment for me, just so you know.
I mean, it's Harvey Mason Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You.
Coop.
When Jay's not... Jay, a vocal produce me, run the Pro Tools, be watching NBA and on social media, all the same. I don't know how he does it. You know what I'm saying? I'll just stop beside him and say, that ain't it, Chief. And then he'll just go back to what he does.
JQ?
JQ's really dope. JQ, me and JQ done a lot of work together. Yeah. But in terms of me just getting to where I know I need to go, I know how to get there. But there are just some guys who just hear things the way I want to hear them. Mm.
Yeah.
And make things a way that I want to make them. And I'm like, whatever you're doing.
You want the record to feel like that demo you heard.
Give me that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Give me the suit that you're wearing. Give it to me. Just cut a little bit off the sides and, you know what I'm saying? And tailor the arms. Maybe cut the sleeves off. I like to show my shit. But that's like, that's an amazing gift that you have. You know what I'm saying? And so I just wanted to start there and say thank you. And give you all the respect and love, you know what I mean? They call it flowers or however else they want to call it. But,
nah, thank
you know,
you,
that's
man.
A respect thing. And you're from the house.
Yeah, you man. Know, you already know.
You're from the mill. You know what I'm saying? I know what kind of guy you are. You know, I know what's in your blood. But we always like to go to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We like to start at the very beginning of where it happened for you, where you felt like, or somebody felt like, you had something different and something special to offer.
Mm. Crazy, because I started off as a rap artist, and a lot of people may
you
not
have
notice.
A rap cadence. Yeah. No, how you do your thing. Yeah.
No, I know.
Yeah, you know. So I started off as a rap artist, and I was signed as a rap artist to Usher's label, Us Records, and you
slash J,
slash J Records,
Clive Davis.
Yeah,
I remember. We were all part of that.
Yes. I remember performing for Clive, because that's when you couldn't just get upstream.
Nah,
you
Clive, just, Clive wanted,
Clive
me,
wanted
Clive
to
know.
See you
he
perform.
See
and I remember Clive standing up and clapping at a rap performance of mine. So, but yeah, I signed to Usher as a rap artist. But I always thought, you know, you have to understand when Usher puts you on TV with him, it's a gift and a curse. So after I signed with him, he put me on How I'm Living and he put me on Diary, MTV Diary. And I was just in the house and he introduces me on Diary, introduces me on BT How I'm Living. So what happens is your family thinks, oh, he's got $1 million.
It's on.
Like, he's off with Usher. Rip.
We up.
This is before social media.
Yeah.
You understand? Social media exposed too much. I think maybe too much of what the business is.
Right.
To where it eliminated the mystique, but that's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can get into that later. But the family, my mom, my sister, everybody thought, is he up?
You're rich.
So everybody's just calling. We need this. You know, grandmother, everybody. So I remember thinking to myself, yo, I'm entirely too broke to have a record deal. This is crazy.
Oh, but you had to deal too.
I had
to
deal.
Time.
Yeah, I had to deal. I hadn't. We had performed for Clive, but we hadn't did the actual deal with J Records.
Okay.
We had just did the deal with Us Records.
Us Records.
So I did that deal. I remember going to Usher's office like every day, just waiting. You know what I mean? I don't know bully shit. Just waiting. Like, where's he? They be like, oh, he's not here today. I'm like, all right, I'll wait. Because I need some money.
Right.
So
these people on my back.
Exactly. So I show up one day and they say, Usher's not here. And I was getting ready to leave and he pulled up. I never forget, he had a Boxster. He had this Boxster Porsche and he had on a yellow vest. Remember the vest people wear when they wear the polo under it? He had the yellow vest.
Oh, yeah.
I never forget. Absolutely. Like the cloth. And I just remember thinking to myself at that time, it just looked so rich. And I just got angry. I'm like, I need some money, man. What's going on? So I go to him. I said, bro, I need some money. Like, we signed. I need some bread. He said, "All right, listen, come in his office." And he made a blank CD. Took a blank CD, put it in the recorder. He had Terrence Carter burn this CD, and he said, "Here's a beat. We've been trying to write to this beat for a very long time. We had everybody try. Nobody could nail a song for this. So what I want you to do is I want you to write a song for me." And his exact words to me, the level of confidence was, "Write a song for me. You'll be good. I'm gonna sell 10 million."
Yeah.
That's what So I said, all right, I take the track and I got a tag.
Hold on, he said, what? He said,
diamond!
Write a song for me.
You have a lot of diamonds on it.
You're going to be good. I'm going to sell 10 million.
I'm going to sell 10 million. He said that to me. So,
matter of fact.
He said it in those exact words. I'm going to sell 10 million. You know what I mean? So I was like, okay. I took the track. I'm sitting in a parking lot of Red Zone Studios. Those don't know.
Red Zone.
Red Zone. So you understand, I came up in a community of writers, creators, rappers. It was myself in one room. Dream was in another room. Nobody knew him. Kerry Hilson would be in one room. Sierra would come down and from high school, drive down and work in the studio. She was signed to Jazzy Faye. It was a whole community of us. I used to run into little Young Jock and T.I. Like, we were all trying to make it in the business. And I sat in Red Zone parking lot because all the studios were booked. Me and the Corner Boys had a room in the back, right? Shout out to the Corner
Boys. Shout out to the Corner Boys.
And I had a flip phone and I sang to the beat. And the beat was Just Blaze beat, You're Gonna Want Me Back.
And
I sang Throwback in the phone and saved it on the notes. And I tried to get Pierre Madure, my brother, I gotta give him shit for this, but I tried to get Pierre to do the demo for me. He just didn't have time. So JQ was just walking through the halls. And he said, you need somebody to demo something? I'll demo it for you. Now I'm going to tell you the truth about everything. I don't like to leave things out. I want to make sure everybody gets their credit.
Yeah.
JQ demoed the song. And although he didn't write lyrics on the song, he did an ad-lib on the song and said, I wish I could throw it back to the way it used to be. That was the ad-lib. He added. And he said to me, I was thinking, because he gave me the CD back after he cut it. And he said, I was thinking, by the way, we couldn't sit. We had to see me to give me this. Remember that?
Yeah.
So he said, I was thinking that you should call a song Throwback. At that time, 2003, Throwback jerseys, you know. And so I was like, wow, that's genius. So we called the song Throwback. I heard the demo. I played it for Usher. Terrence Carter lost his mind. Mark Pitts lost his mind. Usher lost his mind. And the rest is just history. He cut that record and it changed my life. That's how my career started as a songwriter. So even when Usher got rid of his label and moved on to other things, he blessed me with something that nobody could ever take away from me. He unlocked something in me that I didn't know existed. So I just kept writing after that. So that's why when people, you know, if you've ever been around me, hear somebody talk bad about Usher, it gets really bad for them. I just don't allow it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that's how it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? When somebody gives you those type of opportunities, you have to always stay loyal
always.
To that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Now you may have your own little personal things.
Yeah, we go through our shit.
That's life. But when somebody gives you that type of opportunity to change your life, you gotta go to the bathroom.
And also, Usher had an R&B group signed to him.
Yes.
One Chance. Incredible
One Chance.
Group, by the way. He had One Chance on him, but he would take me everywhere with him. It's the craziest thing in the world. Usher would call me and say, get on the plane. I'm going to get a ticket for you. Just bring an empty bag. And then we'll fly to L.A. He was here for American Music Awards, and he would just take me shopping while I was out here. It's like a real little brother.
Yeah.
We just always connected. We always would have great talks, and I would give him advice. He would give me advice. You know, he always say, bro, you're so wise. Like, what you think about this? The high-level shit. And he would just put me on. So we would always hang out. When he did the press run, he did Regis and Kelly and did all those shows. I was with him. When he was going to do BET Awards, he would just say, come with me.
Yeah.
And it would be myself, Keith Thomas, and Usher. And we would just hang out. And I'd be like, I felt so blessed. And later on, I realized that, you know, it's something special in certain people that stands out. And others recognize that. So the gift of recognizing something special in another individual is a gift that I don't think gets enough credit.
For sure.
Because he saw something incredible in me. He helped me learn a bit. And he took me on tour with him. Mind you, I rapped on Throwback on the original version, but on the album version, it didn't make the album. You know what I mean? And it was political. It was political. Jadakiss was on the remix,
on the repackage. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I went on a tour with him, and I would rap my verse on tour in front of 16,000 people every night on tour for 2.5 months. So it was a life-changing experience. It was like seeing the world from the lens of a number one superstar in the world so that I can understand. I think God was just preparing me. Like, yo, we're going to get you to this level in some capacity. I'm just going to show you it from here.
Right.
You know?
So as you're coming up as a rapper, that's your first, you know, that's your mainstay. That's what you think you're getting ready
to be. That's what I thought I was going to be.
Had you ever thought about writing R&B music before that point?
Never.
To that day?
Till that day that I wrote that song. I would write hooks for myself.
Okay.
I write a song and write an R&B hook type thing, but I never, ever had written a song. And my dad used to tell me all the time, you can sing, why don't you sing? And I was like, bro, I'm not no singer. You know what I mean? Because it was a whole thing about R&B back in the day. It was like that false idea of what an R&B artist was.
Right.
Even though the details in so many R&B artists were contrary to that. Yeah. You know what I mean? They were the toughest guys in the whole musical community. But I just was like, nah. And then I remember, and it's to skip way ahead, I remember when Drake first came out. And I had been done being an artist at that point. I'd already been successful as a writer. And when Drake first came out, my dad called me and said, I told you, you could have sang and rapped. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, but I was originally a rapper.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, because we're going to stay here for a minute. Because there's a record that is my favorite song on that project that you wrote that's purely not, like, I could see a rapper coming in and writing to Throwback. Mm. I could see that, right? Great record, but I could see a rapper writing it.
Yeah.
Seduction.
Yeah. But that's myself and Jam and Lewis and Usher.
Of course. But that's still a rapper.
In the mix.
Writing Seduction. Like, right, like, this is just my opinion. Usher, to me, was never fully a sex symbol till he had Seduction.
You think so?
In my opinion. This is my opinion. I think
Nice and Slow did it.
But Nice and Slow was young.
You don't think so?
No.
Nice and Slow was young.
Oh, nice and Slow was a nice record.
Was a nice record and an amazing record.
Yeah.
But it was still, it about fucking?
Yeah, no.
No. Yeah. Nice and Slow ain't about fucking. Nice and Slow is a love song. Yeah,
Seduction, Seduction is in a strip club.
Yeah.
Give me what you got.
Since you was sexy.
Whatever. When you look at a woman and sing that.
Yeah. I watched Terry Lewis produce that vocal, and he was feeding ad libs like.
That record, bro.
Throwing out your best to get you out of control, baby. And I was like,
as soon as it comes on. Oh, I said it's nasty time.
Yeah.
It's nasty time.
That record,
to
bro.
I'm gonna be honest, and I came to that session late. They had already been deep into the record. They allowed me to add on to that record. You know what I mean? So they allowed me in that room to add elements to it. And I think that it's a learning opportunity to be in a room with Terry Lewis producing a vocal and comping a vocal, and you learn how to write a song, and you almost have to keep up with his flow. Yeah. And if you don't keep up, you really got to get out that room. So I was able to kind of follow suit. But I honestly, like I said, when you have something in you, it was kind of like something that was naturally in me that I didn't realize was there. I was always a humongous fan of R&B. Mm-hmm. Like, even as a rap artist, I always listened to mostly R&B records. I was a student. I studied Luther. I studied, I even studied like James Taylor and just those soulful, bluesy folk, Jim Croce, and studying Carole King. And, I just always loved great songwriting and great singing, of course.
And didn't even realize it.
So that when it became my opportunity, but I have to take it back. One second, mm-hmm. I have to take this all the way back. When I first came to Atlanta to try to make it in music, I was living in Jagged Edge's house, in Cal Norman's house. And I remember the house was called The Corner. It was on Memorial Drive.
That's what they called the house.
They called the house The Corner. That's where the Corner Boys were birthed. They called The Corner because that was the house. It was called The Corner. Everybody would pull up, and it was like pulling up to The Corner. The Corner Boys were birthed from The Corner, right? So I would sleep on the couch at The Corner, and Brandon and Brian would come to the studio, and I'm not exaggerating, at 8 in the morning every day. And they would write songs till 6 o'clock, get something to eat, smoke, go back down, write something. And if anybody knows what I mean by Brandon and Brian, that's Jagged Edge, the twins from Jagged Edge.
The legendary.
The work ethic was insane. They never wrote anything down. They went in the booth and they would just write all day. Some great songs, some not so great. It don't matter. Every day they were writing, right?
Yeah.
And after they wrote, they would get in the car, go to Strokers in Atlanta.
As you should.
They would go to Strokers, hang out all night, sleep for 2 or 3 hours, and go back to the studio every day. So the work ethic, and then what I was told was that was how Jermaine worked. Every day, early in the morning, get to the studio, work all night through the wee hours, sleep for a few hours, and then go back to work. So that was the culture I was breeded into. So when I got with Usher, the idea of understanding how to formulate a song, mm-hmm. I had already been absorbing it from watching these guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I got my opportunity, it felt natural, it felt innate, it felt like, like an instinct in me that I didn't even realize was there until it happens. It's like if somebody swings at you and you just automatically,
instinct.
It's instinct. You just know it's there. So I think that school of
Yeah.
You know.
Because you weren't signed to Jagged Edge.
I was not signed to Jagged Edge. I was begging Jagged Edge to sign me.
And you were purely a rapper.
I was a rapper. I wanted them to sign me as a rapper.
Okay.
And they always would say they would, but they just never got around to doing it. And then me and Cal got into a situation. We fell out. So then I stopped being able to come over to the corner for a while. Mm-hmm. But then the corner boys allowed me to come, and I would sleep on their couch.
You just going couch to couch.
Couch to couch. Whore. Straight whore.
Had to have it.
Had to have it.
So you fresh out of college at this point?
I was in college.
You still in school?
I'm still in school. I would catch the bus to Atlanta every weekend.
From where?
From Tallahassee, from FAMU.
Oh, you FAMU?
I went to FAMU. Wow. So I would catch the bus to Atlanta every single weekend. So I would, on Friday nights, I didn't go to Kappa Luau. I've never been to a Gorilla Thriller. Anybody from FAMU knows what I'm talking about. I had never attended any of these events because on the weekends, I was like, I'm going to Atlanta because I got to make it. Right, I would always tell everybody this. Yeah, I'm not going to graduate. I'm right. going to get a deal.
What like, were you going to school for?
Journalism, but I didn't even get into journalism. I was in general studies. I had never even made it to journalism yet because honestly, I was just like, I'm just here. Yeah, I'm just taking liberal arts math and shit like that. But I was taking a bus on Friday nights. I would take the bus to Atlanta. Actually, a Friday night it would be a bus that would take you five in the morning. So I say Saturday morning. I would take a bus to Atlanta. It was 7 hours because you had to stop in between all these cities. Seven. Greyhound bus. I would get there Saturday. I would work all day. Sunday, I would work all day. Sunday night, I would get on the bus and go back to school. I had a 3.8 GPA in college still. I would go back to Atlanta. I mean, go back to Tallahassee, do my schoolwork, have a good time, do the talent shows at Lee Hall, go to the Snake Pit with Lil Steve and do all the little stuff. And then I would get back on the bus every Friday going to Atlanta to make it. People would invite me to things. Yo, come to this. I'm like, I'm going to Atlanta. Then I found friends who would drive me there. My man Chad Roper, C-Note, would just drive me every weekend. And I would be going to Atlanta to make it. That's all I wanted. So if I had gas money, they'd be like, yo. So I got a credit card. They used to give out credit cards on campus. As soon as you get 18, I got a credit card. I maxed out the credit card because I was like, that's my bus trips and money to, you know, get to Atlanta. It was an $800 limit. And I think that lasted me a few good little while, and I would go. So let me tell you the crazy part about it. I get back to school 1 week, and they tell me, "You're no longer registered here. Your financial aid was not accepted." And I was like, well, "Yes, it is." You know. And I called my mom. I said, "Yo, they saying I'm not enrolled in school." My mother, my mother's my best friend, but at this time, it was she was a little angry. She said, You're playing games. You don't want to go to school and you think you're playing. Because I am looking at the paper right here. How are you going to tell me? And I'm like, Ma, they saying I'm not enrolled in school. So what I used to do, each semester they would have my paperwork not ready or my money wouldn't all the way be in yet. But I would still go to class. And you still go to class and by the time your paperwork is there, you still caught up. You catch back up.
Right.
I was told that I could no longer attend classes because my name wasn't on the roll. They would take a roll. If your name didn't show up, you couldn't even come in for the class. So I told my mom, yo, they're tripping. I went down, sat in the financial aid office in the line, because it'd be a line for like 6 hours to get to the front of the line.
So it's a 6-hour line?
The lines are ridiculous. Financial aid office is ridiculous.
Yeah. So it looks like Players Club when Diamond was in line. You know, I didn't go to college, man.
It's more like EBT vibes. It's more like food stamp line vibes.
Okay.
So I sat in there. I get there, the woman looks on the computer, and she says, I'm looking, and your name is not here.
After 6 hours in line.
6 hours, your name is not here, you're not a student in school. So I go.
I would have flipped the table over.
I was so upset, but I go.
Shit.
I go to Atlanta on that Friday. When I go to Atlanta that Friday, we get opportunity. The week before, I had rapped on this remix that Usher had produced. Usher was doing a remix album.
You don't know him then, though.
I don't know him.
You don't know.
Usher was doing a remix album. He was looking for new producers to sign. He was not even trying to sign artists.
Yeah.
By the way, the Corner Boys end up doing their deal with Red Zone because I told Red Zone. Red Zone was looking for a rapper. See, I went back and forth. Red Zone was looking for a rapper.
Tell us who Red Zone is.
Yeah, talk to him.
Red Zone, Tricky Stewart.
Mm-hmm. The Stewart brothers.
You know, the Stewart brothers.
Yeah, Laney.
Who discovered Dream, did all that. Yeah. Incredible. By the way, Tricky is still that.
Yeah, we give real shout outs up here.
And is just one of those incredible figures in my life, in my career, and myself in the Corner Boys. So Tricky and Laney wanted to sign me as a rap artist. I went down there and I said, I'm not signing anybody unless the Corner Boys do my album. They said, well, we a production team, so we want to sign you because we want to do your album.
Yeah.
I said, nah, Corner Boys got to do my album or I'm not doing the deal. So they said, all right, fuck you. We're going to sign the Corner Boys.
So
they signed the Corner Boys and, you know, did a deal for Pure Music Group, right? So long story short, that's all cool because it worked that way it's supposed to work out.
Yeah.
So I'm down there. The Corner Boys had did a remix to If I Want To. If I want it, I could take you from your man. It was on My Way Out.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Corner Boys remixed it and I rapped on it. DJ Rogers Jr.
My God.
DJ Rogers.
My God. Yeah, I know.
My God.
DJ Rogers tells Usher, you need to hear this nigga.
That's DJ Rogers.
You, that's Usher, DJ you Rogers. Need to. And he says, he tells the story. He said, I was about to fight Usher. Me and Usher was about to fight.
Just like that, though. Just like that.
Yep. Every time I see DJ, he's like, you know, I was about to fight Usher.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he told Usher, you better sign this kid. So Usher had a showcase. I had the opportunity to rap on this song. That opportunity came on a Tuesday. I used to go to Atlanta on a Friday and catch the bus on what day?
On a Sunday.
The opportunity came to rap on a song on a Tuesday in the middle of the week. I rapped on a song. Few weeks later, I get back. I'm out of school and I'm still there. And I was able to be invited to a showcase to perform for Usher, for artists he wanted to sign.
Yeah.
I perform, I bust my ass on the showcase. Then they had an MC battle at the end of it. And it was a kid named Nitty from Chicago. And he and I battled. And respectfully, he didn't win.
You got witty.
Yeah. It was a massacre.
Yeah.
So Usher gave me the opportunity. He ended up signing me. Now, after I get signed, and this is going to make all the saints in around the shout in 5 seconds. After I get signed, I'm doing my thing. I'm working. I get a call from financial aid department at FAMU. And guess what they said? We are so sorry, Mr. Butler.
We made a mistake.
Your name was spelled wrong and a letter was missing and it didn't show up in the computer. I'm going to tell y'all, sometimes God will just take a letter.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Let me just move that. And that's how I got my whole start. I would have been in school and I would have missed that opportunity. My whole life is different. And I'm going to tell y'all something even further. Every time life gets tricky and weird for me, or I went through some incredibly hard times in 2016 and 17, like terrible times, right? Had to file for bankruptcy, lost my house, went through the most, everybody turned their back on me. It was ugly for me. But I always think back to God moving a letter out of the way to make sure that I was there and an opportunity was made available for me.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Do you think, I'm sure you do, because as fellow rap singers, we both rap and sing.
Did you rap on a TGG album?
Tyrese did. Yeah, I allowed him to do that.
He a better rapper than you?
Tyrese is not a better rapper than me.
You remember when Tyrese made the level. Double CD the, with the rapping?
Yeah, the Alter Ego.
Bro, the R&B side was fire.
It was off. It was. What about the other side? Really? Black Tie supports you in all your endeavors.
I love you, Black Tie.
Do you feel like you as a rapper and just understanding, you know, wordplay and phrasing and all these things made you that much more ready for those moments and those opportunities to put those words together on R&B songs? Because I found that writing R&B music was so easy. And it was because, I mean, everybody be laughing at me, but I do come from a rap background, but then coming from a gospel background.
Yeah.
Where all these things are so intricate and wordy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get over to this space where, especially early in the R&B days, there was a real structure. You know what I mean? And if you knew how to dance within that structure, it was light.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, they was like, yeah, we're going to write a song. And I was like, are we going to write? We going to, like, pencil it?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do any of that.
Because
I was like, the words are coming so fast. I'm just telling the story word for word how it goes. Do you feel like your rap?
I would say that it's a science to being melodically meticulous.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding what a classic progression feels like and understanding how to place an inspiring melody over a classic progression,
mm-hmm.
right? inspiring melody. You know, when you think about "And I Miss You Like the Desert Missed the Rain," when you think about "I Know You Wanna Leave Me, mm-hmm. But I Refuse," that's inspiring mm-hmm. melody. When you mm-hmm. think about "Neo So Sick," you think about melodically, it inspires whatever the subject is and whatever the listener is, it inspires them to feel something, right? Mm-hmm. That part of it is not easy. Mm-hmm. Now, the part that came natural for me was the melodic instinct. But the part that also came much more, with much more practice being as a rapper, was making sure that the lyric was just as captivating.
Gotcha.
Now, writing a R&B melody, if you have that ability, that's one step of it. But Elton John had an ability to write melodies. He didn't have a lyrical ability. So his partner would write the lyric. And Elton John would put the melody to
it.
T-Boz, when she wrote Unpretty, she wrote it as a poem. Somebody put a melody to it and made it an incredible song. Mm. So I don't like to use the word easy when it comes to anything with R&B because we don't get enough credit as it is, right? Mm-hmm. But I will say it's an instinct in R&B writers to be melodic, but it's also an instinct in rappers to make sure that you're saying something. So marrying mm-hmm. the two is what I would believe was be my strong point. When I wrote Sweet Dreams for Beyonce, I remember her looking at me when it says, "You can be a sweet dream or a beautiful nightmare. Mm-hmm. Either way, I don't want to wake up from you." And she was like, because if you know Beyonce, she's a lyric person.
Yeah,
she's not going to sing no fluff.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think about songs I've written and I think about the time I take to make sure that the words line up, even when I teach, I always tell people, if you can't read it like a sentence and it makes sense, trash it. It got to, from start to finish, you should be able to read it like a novel.
Mm-hmm.
It should be that well put together. It should be the detail. And you got to inspire something to people. You have to say the thing that's most commonly said. A hit record is saying the thing that's most commonly said in a way that's never been said before. Because I have to do the work for you. Mm-hmm. If you're dating a girl and you really don't know what to say to her, that's my job. All you're supposed to do is play her the song.
Yeah.
That's why we used to have mixtape when I was coming up, and you just send the girl, just dedicate. Play. I want to dedicate this song to blah, 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 because I don't know how to say this. He said it for me.
Yeah.
So if your songs don't do that, don't speak to people, speak for people, is really a cheat. So when I think about easier, I don't know if easier. I think that I definitely lyrically required myself to be at a certain standard because I start off as a rapper.
Hmm. You said a whole bunch of bars.
That is ultimately why you are who you are,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you're also well studied.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there are a lot of talented people,
mm-hmm.
but we're not always well studied.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, we're just talented, and a lot of those just talented people come and go.
Yeah,
you know, it starts off with who you know. We know that's how you know, mm-hmm. you name the people who got you to the places. But then it turns into what you know.
What you know. And what you know determines who knows you. Because
mm-hmm.
I used to think it was who you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then I learned it was what you know. And then I realized that the gift of knowing much makes other people interested in knowing who you are and inquiring about you.
Yeah.
So the thing that I like what you said was a lot of people don't stick around because they don't study and they're not well versed. But the greatest part about being well-versed is they are valleys. And a person who understands and is a student can make it through the valley. I watched Pharrell work in a room across from me, and it was a drought for Pharrell. And I was on fire 5 years in a row, nothing but hits. 6 years, just nothing but hits, nonstop. Pharrell was working across the hall diligently.
Yeah.
And he came in there, and he played me happy.
Yes.
And he played me the whole Despicable Me soundtrack. And I said, "What, you need some help?" "Nope, just wanted to play it. Wanted to show you
what's about to show you what's about to."
Yes, right? Because what always, being creatives, right? And being as competitive as we were at one point. At one point, it was nonstop, turn the lights on the radio. That's all you heard.
Yeah.
Times will always shift. You have to understand, you're never going to be that guy at all times.
Mm-hmm.
But, and a lot of people, they think that they can, you know, you'll see people taunting you and saying things like, "Oh, nigga, get back in the studio. You ain't did nothing, blah, blah, blah." Right. And you, even though, you know, we still working, we still very active. But when you're not working at that volume, sometimes people can believe that you don't matter as much to the business. But I'm going to tell you about being well-versed. When you're a student, you can always figure out a pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get that pocket, he did Happy, he did Lucky, he did Blurred Lines. Mm-hmm. He did his album that came out. Like, he was not busy. He got because he understands it. He's not a fluke. Mm-hmm. The type of records and the amount of records, a lot of people could not do a Versus. They wouldn't have the ability to be able to be blessed enough to say, I could literally do a Versus. That's tough, bro.
That's a different level.
People think that that's an easy thing. Level. I see them throwing around names like such and such to do a Versus. And I'd be like,
yeah, you don't got enough. Right.
You don't know what Versus
is. You don't know. You don't have. That's a real long time to go back and forth. And it's not because, you know, I'm just born. No, it's because I understand and I'm musical enough to be a student and understand how to. The ebbs and flow of the business and understand how to talk the language of the people and the culture, understand how to listen and be quiet. And what I'm learning now is I've listened to so many songs that I've written recently, and I'm thinking to myself, this verses, the melody is not young enough. And that's when you got to be smart enough to know where collaboration comes into play. Mm-hmm. Because I looked at and it, nothing sound dated or cheesy, but I was thinking like, this sounds really good. It sounds classic. But if I just young this thing up a little
bit.
Just
a little bit.
Yeah.
If I get some little 19-year-old to come in here and just fuck with this verse.
Yeah. Right.
That's the creative brilliance and understanding the collaboration and what it means. So I think that a lot of us stick around. We're able to still exist. I still do scores and movies. I just did Pop Smoke, Enjoy Yourself. I did City Girls Twerk. Did Romeo Santos and Justin Timberlake. Sin Finn, number one in every Spanish country in the world. Still. We still active. We still making music. We still relevant to the culture. But it's not because, nigga, I'm just... Kanye did not make all those great albums because he was just the dopest. He made all those great albums because he consistently was able to collaborate. He was not afraid. Drake does not consistently do it because he's sitting in the room with just him and 40. Yeah. He's smart enough to say, you, just come in the room with
me.
Let's get it. Right. I'll work and tell me where I'm wrong at. Tell me what I'm missing. Tell me when I sound like the old thing and when I need to sound like the new thing. And people have lost sight of what that collaboration looks like.
And what it means.
What it means. What when Jay-Z says, all right, I like Young Chris. I like this whole Philly energy. I'm going to go in. I'm going to borrow from that. But I'm going to still be Jay-Z.
Right.
And somebody would say, well, he stole. Okay, if he stole it, then they would be able to do it. What he did was, Quincy Jones said, a thief steals, a genius borrows. Genius is able to say a little bit of this resonates with me. A little bit of this resonates with me, but this is me.
I'm going to do
this
it is my way.
I'm going to take a piece of that influence. I remember Jaden Smith did an interview and he said, if I have to live in a world where I can't borrow from anybody or copy off anything, why the fuck do I even want to hear it? It's like bringing me a plate of food and saying, yes, just smell it. Look, take it away now.
Right.
It's here for us to borrow from. Sampling music, sampling track. It's here for us to do that.
Yeah.
If you're not prepared to understand how beautiful that feels to be able to take something that was this, take something this, it's incomplete now when you take it away. If I just take a piece of a Tank song and a piece of Jay Valentine song, each one of those things now, because they're just pieces, are incomplete. But if I add who I am to that, then I just made a whole new complete concept and idea that's familiar to you because you're familiar with these two people. It feels, man, what do I know? What does it feel? Why do I know this? Because they were able to borrow from incredible things and make something new.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like taking a drum loop. A drum loop, you're just taking a drum loop. So what are you going to add to it?
Yeah.
A break beat, what am I going to add to it? Because if not, I'm just taking a break beat. But collaboration comes in my method of approaching what happens after that break beat is sample.
I want to go back as a member of the hive of the beehive.
Beehive, yes. I'm wearing yellow.
No, pants, you're
in case the camera didn't get
it. I had to make sure that
he's custom.
I wanted to represent for Bee.
Yeah, these
I'm
are
a beehive member.
Yeah, these are not.
I made sure my
on the rack. I just want to let you know.
Blacking.
Yeah, this guy's she's not a rack guy. All right.
Yeah, shout out to the Beehive.
Yeah, these are special hangers.
Okay? special hangers.
These come on in a bag, zip up bag.
Yeah, man, you got to walk out the store like this.
Yeah, you got to.
Y'all doing too much of this.
Y'all doing this.
Y'all doing too much of this. Oh, the floss.
The experience with Beyonce in the studio because you know. As we get to hear, you know, the byproduct of what we assume is just perfect from sun up to sundown.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And eventually it gets there. But what is that process like with her?
I'm going to say this, and I want to say this to every new artist. I'm going to say this to every up-and-coming act. You just got a record deal. he got a little buzz, you know, because now you can't get a deal without a buzz. So, you know, you just got a little buzz going. You're getting a little attention. You show up 2 hours late to the studio. You high. You know what I mean? You got 8 friends with you. You don't make eye contact with the producer that you're coming to work with. You just kind of like, what's up? You know, I want you to understand that Beyonce walks in the studio and she greets everybody. Mm-hmm. And she says, how are you? And then she'll ask you a question about something and you'll say that. And the next time you see her, a month later, 2 months later, she'll say, how was that thing that you told me about? And you're like, you remembered that, right? Beyonce walks in the studio and she is professional and she asks questions and she inquires and she... It was the most professional experience that I've experienced with a superstar ever. And I also would like to say that she allowed me to produce her vocal, which surprised me. And she allowed and trusted me. When she realized that I knew what I was doing, she was like, it was a certain level of comfort. Like, do your thing. Like, you know what I mean? And she let me rock. And the craziest story is the second day that we were supposed to work. We worked one day. I wrote a song called Save the Hero, which is on the Sasha Fierce album. And she got emotional when she heard it and she sang it, right? Who's there to save the hero? Who's there to save the girl after she saves the world? That's the lyric. So she came and the next day she had to shoot an American Express commercial with Ellen. So she had to leave to go to LA and then come back to Miami and circle around. By the way, she came to Miami to work with me. She understood that that's where I was comfortable. So she came to me. Now, a lot of people are stuck in their ways and they'll say,
you got to come.
Well, you got to, I don't feel like doing this. Yeah. She understood, even though I'm Beyonce, he's comfortable here.
I'm going to
here.
Get the best out of him.
Yeah, I'm going to get the best out of him where he's comfortable. And then, so she left. It just so happened that Jay was coming on tour with Mary J. Blige. Mm-hmm. So she came in and her plane had to circle around for like 2.5 hours or some craziness. Her flight was delayed for a long time because it was a bad storm in Miami. While I was waiting, I had wrote a song about a house, like some song that I thought was just brilliant. About it was a metaphor about a house and love, and I thought it was each room is going to represent.
I think,
you know,
everybody has a house song.
Yeah, yeah,
everybody has a house song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
at least one.
I just thought to myself, like, this is going to be it.
I did it.
And the window pane is crying.
Like,
Paul, no, nigga, it's just raining outside. Yeah,
exactly.
Relax.
And the stairs are talking to me, and you know. Oh, by the way, I did write Paint This House for Brandy.
There you go.
And that shit was good, though. Y'all ain't ever heard Paint This House by Brandy. That was a good one. Nah, but I wrote this song about a house that I thought was like, this is it. Like, Grammy. Grammy anyone?
Yeah,
DJ Khaled voice. So I was like, all right, cool. Then I said, okay, she's not here because of Flame. Let me just, I'll write another song. So Wayne Wilkins and Jim Johnson played this loop. Boom, and all I heard was, turn the lights on. That's what I keep hearing. Like, okay, let's go. So I wrote Sweet Dreams, and before she showed up, so she walks in, and when she walks in this time, she's in full Beyonce apparel.
Yeah.
Diamonds, studded, hair done, makeup, everything. Yeah. Heels just looking like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Respectfully, Hov.
Yes. Yeah.
So she says, I really don't have time to work. And inside, that's what I'm talking about, character. I don't have time to record. I wanted to come because I was late. I wanted to make sure you saw my face. I'm sorry, our plane circled around. We couldn't make it, but I wanted to make sure I came personally. So you, because you guys have been waiting here for hours, and I wanted to come.
I love it.
By the way, this is the all-time most winningest Grammy Award-winning artist of all time.
Yeah.
And she's a class act. She walks in, she says that, and I say, Beyonce, I would love to play you a song that I just wrote. And I played her the house song. And she's like, nice, cool. And I said, well, I just wrote this other one before you got here, but I just finished it, literally. The mix ain't even all the way there, but I would love to play you that. And she kind of like, yeah, I have to go, but all right. And I played her Sweet Dreams. She looked at Angie. Angie is her cousin, assistant at the time. And she said, how much time we got, Ange?
Shit.
She said, we probably got 20 minutes. But you know, we got police escorts. So we get there to the American Airlines Theater. She took her heels off and she took her earrings off and she cut Sweet Dreams in 15 minutes.
Shit.
She cut Sweet Dreams in 15 minutes. And I'm going to tell you what absolutely.
Go back and listen to that, guys.
I'm going to tell you what changed my life. My voice was saying, turn the lights on. So when she stepped out the booth, she said, "Oh wait, I didn't do the turn of lights on." I said, "You."
Yeah, she says it on the record.
If you fucking say turn the lights on, you better not fucking say turn the lights on, Beyonce. Because I am going to be a whore. Do you understand the levels?
Say turn the lights.
You better. And yeah, she went in and she said, "Turn the lights on."
No, I know she said it. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I know you would have said it.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nigga, you've had these records.
Yeah.
That just
have these records.
Have. No. Have. Absolutely yeah. Have. But we got to talk about the past too.
Yeah, though. Yeah.
We got.
Yeah.
We have to.
No,
do
no.
That.
Reason why I say have is because we still have them, right?
Yeah.
And what people say to me that I really kind of cringe when they say, "I used to love that song."
Why? Tell me why though. Because as a songwriter, I want to know that
because,
too.
Because I still love it, and you still love it. When I listen to Stevie Wonder, I don't say I used to love that song. When I listen to Burn by Usher, I don't say I used to love.
I was
that
just gonna say in the doo wop when them song comes on.
That's fair. You
when
still
them
love
songs
it.
Come
you
on
still
and
still
love it.
And we gotta be particular about how we say things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
that's fair.
We have them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're still ours. They still exist.
We're saying have.
We're saying have
now. On
respect.
The R&B
no past tense when
no
it comes
past
to music.
Tense when it comes to music.
No past tense when it comes to music.
It's a gift.
All right, Rico.
Gift that keeps giving. Uh oh.
Yeah. Tank has his piano.
Woo.
Did y'all tune that? It sounds better today. Can you even tune this thing? Oh, man.
Top five.
Yeah.
Woo.
Your top five. Rico's top five.
I don't know what notes he be singing.
Your top five R&B songs.
This is the least R&B.
R&B artist.
But
right,
he makes it make sense.
You know.
Michael McDonald.
Got somebody. Somebody. Somebody you wanna put in your top five. Your top five. Rico loves top.
Go falsetto.
Five.
No, falsetto.
Five.
Oh, I love
it. Fuck.
You ready?
Top five songs. R&B songs, yeah?
R&B songs of all time.
I want to fuck up your shit.
Okay, my bad. By the way, first of all, no matter what you people feel, Prince is ours.
Yes.
He belongs to us.
It's
right?
Not even a conversation.
Yeah, he's ours. Because I had this come.
Yeah, man. All
right.
Not here. Prince R&B King.
Diamonds and Pearls by Prince.
Sheesh.
Bassline. Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
Oh my God.
Human Nature by Michael Jackson. Because I gotta follow it up. Yes, you get it.
Come on with it.
Number three, I'm gonna go with So Sick by Neo.
Genius.
My ass.
Yes. Genius.
Special.
Genius.
Special.
Number four, I'm gonna go with Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye.
Yes.
Wake up. Get up.
Who is he talking to?
Let's make love tonight.
Who's he whispering to?
Whoever's land was next to him.
How dare you whisper?
Yeah.
Number five. I'm going to go with. Sorry, I have to do it. You Got It Bad by Usher.
Yeah.
When you on the phone, hang up and you call right back.
Call right back.
Yeah. And then if we go down the list, I'm going to say, because we got to go all time, I'm going to go to my number like 27, because just randomly, because this came to my head.
Number 27.
I'm going to jump down.
Yeah. Okay.
I know this sounds crazy, but when Dream goes, Girl, I'm in love with you, baby, and I want you to know that I'm hooked on your body.
Come on, man.
How we just do a three-part?
You just know what it is.
Come on, we know that record.
Come on now.
She rocking that thing.
That was just, yeah. To me, it
she
just
rocking looked, that thing.
That was just a bounce.
He was just, I don't like his different attitude. Yeah. He just keeps doing.
Nah, he got jams.
He got a chill.
Yeah, fucking jam. Yeah. That's a great top five.
Great top five. Okay.
Yeah, you came ready with your shit. Yeah, you know what I mean? And with a 27.
And with a 27.
And with a 27.
No, he had a full 50 clip for it. Just in case.
But I had to make sure that that song just, I don't know what. Every time I start thinking about the top five, this whole conversation, I'm like, damn, that song is so special to me.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. All right. Your top five R&B artists.
Yeah.
Usher.
Shit. Okay. Let's get there.
Beyonce.
Let's get there.
Luther Vandross.
Why not?
Brandy.
Huh? Yeah.
Tank.
Oh, shit.
Let's go.
Milwaukee zone. Look at Milwaukee right here. If we could just get Giannis to show up to the podcast one time for the
you
one
know
time.
I gotta give it to the Tank. I'm gonna tell you why.
Okay, tell us.
There's a group called Rain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And those guys, I grew up with those guys, and they had a record deal where they were signed to Jay Jagged. They came back to them and they sang this song. BJ would sing this song. When we turn out the lights, the two of us. No, not that's the Joe. He would say, it was a song. Star brings much loneliness, but as soon as I see you, the feelings of being blue is gone. Visions of your lovely face have gone. And Tank wrote that song for them about 25 years ago.
Shit.
I was in high school. They came back with that demo. You remember Rain? I don't know if you know Rain. BJ, Mario, and Tim. And they came.
Oh, yeah.
And you.
Tim Brown.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And you, Timbo.
Timbo.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they.
Wow.
Listen. And they came back and they played that song. And I listened to that song every year. I remember. Because I used to get really emotional, by the way. Like, if I heard an album, I was a kid. Like, for instance, the album Emotional by Carl Thomas, when I first heard it, I cried. Not because it was so much. Because I thought, if this is what I have to make it in the business, I'm never going to make it. That's how.
That album.
So I remember hearing that song and I got emotional. I was like, I'm fucked, bro. And I was a rapper. But I just thought, if things have to be on this level.
That's crazy.
That's how songs used to affect me. I used to get sad and sleep. I used to get in the bed, didn't want to get out of bed. Because I'd be like, what the fuck am I going to do? This is all I want to do.
Right.
And if this nigga's making shit like that, I got to make stuff like this to make it. I'm fucked.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's thank why Tank got to go on my number five, because we got history. Yeah. This guy's just incredible.
Got to finish business.
Yeah, man.
Let's do a Voltron, okay? Let's make your R&B artist, your elite R&B artist. We want to see who you're going to pull the vocal from,
mm-hmm.
who you're going to pull the performance style from,
mm-hmm.
who you're going to pull the styling from,
mm-hmm.
and who you're going to pull the passion from.
Mm-hmm.
So what artists are you getting the vocal from?
I got to get the vocal from Sam Cooke.
Shit. Mm.
And it's close because it's Donny Hathaway or Sam Cooke, but I got to go Sam Cooke because umph to it. You know what I mean? So the styling?
No.
What's the next
performance
one? Performance style from? I got to go with Usher. I don't know if anybody's been to Vegas. I know you've been.
I got to go
Usher.
Yeah, five times.
Because Michael was an incredible showman, incredible performer, but I don't think he had the wind. You know what I mean? Usher has the wind to perform for 3 hours. I think Michael was so slim and so, you know.
I'm going
to
stay out of this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he had the wind. I'm not trying to say sing the song because he sounded great.
I'm going
to
stay
out of this. But I just think Michael, Usher just has more wind to me. In the 3-hour performance.
This is your Voltron. I'm staying out of it.
You disagree? All right. So I'm going to go because that's
no. Let's address the wind. Okay.
Yeah.
You do realize that Michael Jackson will perform his songs anywhere from 5 to 10 BPMs faster.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. Yeah.
You know, I don't play about the Michaels.
Yeah. About the Michaels.
Michael Jordan,
mm-hmm.
Mike Tyson,
mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson,
mm-hmm.
Michael Corleone. I just don't play. I don't play about the Michaels.
Right. Okay.
So I.
That's fair. You got it. You got it. You got it.
But,
I can accept when I'm wrong. I can accept when I'm wrong.
Your vote's wrong.
But I'm still going to go with Usher.
Okay. Okay.
Just performance. I'm going to go with Usher's performance.
Styling. The style of that artist. What they putting on stage.
What they putting on. Styling. Let's say. I'm going to go with. And this is my wild card.
Okay. Okay.
The Five Heartbeats. They're an imaginary group.
Oh, shit.
Imaginary group.
Yeah, yeah.
But when Flash joined the group, the whole style.
It turned out.
It turned.
Nah, them niggas was, they was definitely fly. Yeah. They look rich.
You had to
they
put that shit on.
They look very rich.
So I got to go imaginary group with that one.
You have to look appealing.
Yeah.
You Google that. You want my spot. Young people.
In R&B.
You want my spot.
In
my spot. Dang.
Where did he still had that fit that they ripped his
nice like this
that they ripped his the sleeves off that the brothers ripped the sleeves off of. He had on the tearaway
in the same fit.
The depiction of that was so crazy.
No, Robert Townsend.
As you just,
shout out to Robert Townsend.
Oh man, genius.
Because he's not a singer. He's not an R&B guy. Like genius, I mean, obviously he's an R&B guy.
Wrote an amazing script. Genius. Acted his ass off.
But the greatest R&B movie of all time.
By the way, the writing at the end. When he said, when Eddie Kane sang, "I feel like holding on with Precious." Oh my God!
Like going and then when
she said, she hit that note. I said, "Oh no, it's over."
Yeah, I was like,
"Yeah."
Come, wait,
all right. Incredible.
The passion of that artist. Who are you getting the heart from?
Gerald Levert.
Yeah.
Easily.
We've had two Gerald Leverts in the passion section. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
And you can't go wrong with Joe.
Can't go wrong with Joe.
Ever. On any stage.
On any level.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vocally.
Yeah. Joe Levert.
Fly.
Come on. To Teddy Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that episode where Martin was on the Varnell Hill show and he slid across the floor like this? That's some Gerald Levert shit.
Gerald Levert.
All of it.
Gerald Levert.
In a suit.
He going to do it because his daddy did it.
Exactly. In a suit.
Yeah.
I watched his daddy.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm just making a joke at 107 years old on front of the stage.
Remember he was
sweating out his
suit. He got on ground. He rolled across the stage at the Soul Train Awards.
Sweating out his suit.
Come on,
give him full all of it.
Yes.
Call you.
Yes,
I know you want it.
Yeah.
I'm like this. He is still getting to it.
Yeah, man.
And he used to watch my show every night. He'd come talk to me and just say,
you know what? I got to apologize again because that Michael shit was out of pocket. It was out of pocket because I'm thinking about Jackson 5. He's been fucking conditioning since he was fucking at 2.5.
I mean, if Michael Jackson takes a break, it's because he feels.
Yeah, he felt like it.
I need everybody to go watch the Dancing Machine performance. Just go watch the Dancing Machine performance. That'll fuck your whole head up.
Yeah, I apologize.
It'll fuck your whole head up.
I apologize, Michael, and all of the
in the estate.
I was tripping.
I'll tell him. I know.
I'm so sorry.
So, while we're here, we got another selection. You want to give him a selection? You want to give him a selection? What speed you gonna play at?
I'm gonna play the fast speed. Okay. I ain't saying no names. Where you was? Who you with? What you did? Don't say shit.
Turn the lights on.
I ain't saying no names.
Oh shit. Story, funny or fucked up?
Oh man.
Or funny and fucked up?
Funny and fucked up.
The only rule is you can't say no names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
So this is Rico. Oh, actually, hold on. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is Rico Loves, Division One, Turn the Lights On, the Motivation Man himself.
Himself.
Huh? There goes my baby. Huh?
They thought they know, but they don't know.
They don't know. They couldn't know. I ain't saying no names.
Oh, man. I ain't saying no names.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when I was young, I'm eliminate. I was on tour with Usher, so that eliminates him because I'm not saying no names. Right?
Okay. All right. We'll let that slide.
Yeah. So I'm on tour. And somebody I really loved and admired was hanging out with me. We hanging out, And I met a young lady. Beautiful. Probably one of the most beautiful girls I ever met in my life. I'm thinking to myself, you know what? And for some reason, this particular evening, this guy, very popular, very well accomplished guy, just hanging out with me. So he's like, yo, just vibing with me, right? So I'm just like, all right, cool. We hanging out. And I met this young lady who I thought to myself, easily going to be my girlfriend. You know, first day meeting her. This is it. This is it for me.
Yeah.
This is all I need in my life.
That's all I need in my life.
She was that beautiful. And I'm just like thinking, like, man, if I'm in. But homeboy, he's around me. And I'm just thinking, oh, he must be. This makes me look cooler. Because,
yeah.
You know what I mean? This must make me look a lot cooler because I'm hanging with homeboy. So I say, yo, I'm going to go step out and second holler at my man because I got to jump on stage, you know, because I'm on the troop tour. I got to perform. And I really, really, really like this girl. I'm thinking to myself, it's going to be it for me. Interlock pinkies, that type of energy. Hmm. Walking.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And not only was this man ravishing her when I returned.
Oh.
But he locked the door. Yeah, he locked the door. And he must have been experienced sexually because she because she was doing vocal exercises. I thought maybe they were doing. Oh, at first, man. I thought like maybe he's training her vocals.
Yeah. He was training her throat, all right.
Yeah. I was like, they're doing vocal exercises for sure. And then
set wasn't that long.
Yeah, it was quick. I go up there, do the verse. I come back. I'm like, whoo. I'm thinking maybe she's soft on the side of the stage. I made a spot for her on the side of the stage. I gave her all access laminate.
That laminate.
Yeah, I took that laminate back. She came out of there. Yeah, so he was ravishing her. Ravishing Rick Rude. What we call him. Yeah. It was yeah, they had a time. And then when she walked out, she commenced to acting like she was gonna hang with me for the rest of the night.
No.
Yeah. This happened. This happened.
Did you let her hang out?
I did.
Oh my God!
She was bad.
Well, she was bad. She was so bad. I was like,
yeah. He's an R&B nigga at heart. He can't help himself. He's a lover. God, he's a lover.
I guess I'm just not an R&B nigga at all.
He's a lover.
Shit.
Oh my God.
Drake said it best.
Oh man.
Oh man.
You knew to me.
You knew to me.
Oh my God. Yeah, man.
Oh, that was great.
That happened. That was real.
He said he must have been experienced.
he definitely knew his way around. Knew his way around the dressing room. Respectfully. He knew his way around the dressing room.
Respectfully.
He knew his way around.
Yeah. I don't think it was respectfully at all, man.
He was quick too.
I realize he just really, I'm thinking he's making me look like that nigga, like, you know, this blah, blah, blah. And I'm just
he had been throwing little jabs at her the whole time, all night.
And I'm sitting there, but I'm all
on the undercurrent. You know, like, you think it's you missing
so
what he's
doing.
So I'm
telling her, like, yo, get on this side of the stage right here. When I get out, you know, I'm a blah, blah, blah. I get on the stage. I don't really see her, but I'm not tripping because I just killed it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, this is a great performance. This is good, you know. I go back. I'm like, you know, where's, you know, go to woo, woo, woo. Dressing room. Yeah, annihilating this young lady. Respectfully and safely. But it was just
respectfully and safely.
Yeah, it was a
learning experience.
Absolute learning experience.
Next time Tay Crone stays with
I hung out with her afterwards.
Just come on.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. I still hung out with her, but no pinkies no more. Like the pinkies was out. I got standards.
Shit. Listen, I know you gotta go. But it's a very important thing. I need you to give our audience a little bit of the rundown of the Recording Academy, the Grammys, and the Black Music Coalition. How that all goes together, and the part that you're playing in that, and how important that is to up and coming and current,
established icons,
creatives
everybody
in this business.
So I'm the vice chairman of the Recording Academy's Board of Trustees. So and I'm also the chairman of the Black Music Collective. Mm-hmm. I always loved watching the Grammys. I always felt like this was music's biggest night. Not to sound like cliche, but I just felt like this is
the Super Bowl.
This is it. This is a Super Bowl for us. This is the thing that we can say, wow. And a while ago, I became a member and I joined and I started understanding what it means and how you vote and how this operates. And I used to be as angry with the Recording Academy as everybody else until I realized that these are things, the issues inside the Recording Academy are things that can be fixed. It's just about us coming together, right? Mm-hmm. If everyone decides that we're going to walk away from the race, we don't harm or hurt the rest of the people in a race who don't run as fast as us. We help them. Hmm. They benefit from our absence and participating in certain elements of it. Mm-hmm. People often say, like, we should fight for our seats at the table. And I'm telling you, we should not fight for our seats at the table. I'm telling you that my ancestors built the table. Their influences, their music, their soul, their energy created this table. Every artist that's done great numbers and great things can always say there was a Black artist that influenced them. This is a fact. So I'm not fighting for a seat. I'm claiming an inheritance that belongs to me, that's owed to me. Mm-hmm. So when I'm inside the Recording Academy and I'm fighting to make sure that we raise awareness for Black voting members, when I'm chairing the BMC, we're honoring this year, this week we honor Sylvia Rome, Lil Wayne, Missy Elliott, and Dr. Dre. Lil Wayne's speech, he cried. Because we gave him the Global Impact Award. We didn't give him an award for a song. We didn't give him an award for an album. We said that you globally have impacted the world. Your style, your energy, who you are. And that is the awareness that I want to raise. A lot of people say, fuck the Grammys and they cheat. And I always ask them, how does the Grammys work?
I don't know.
Every person that says, fuck the Grammys, I say, how does it work? Mm-hmm. I hear people saying, well, this year, I know they ain't going to let her win this year. But next year, it's because they blah, blah, the politics today. And I'm like, there's a voting body, and if we make up 85% of the best streaming music, but we only make 2% of the voting membership, then how do we expect to be recognized when it's time to vote?
Right.
So what I encourage us all to do is make sure that we become voting members. Now, I don't know when this is going to air, but I will say this. February 15th is when you can start submitting to be a voting member. Mm-hmm. You go to Grammy.com. You click in that top left corner. Tab is going to come down. In the middle is going to say membership. Click on that membership. You get two people to co-sign you, to give you letters to speak up for you, right? They don't have to be established artists. They can be anybody. It helps if you know somebody inside the academy, but if you don't, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And then be active in the music business currently. Every rapper, every R&B artist who has friends in a business, who have an engineer, who has producers, all of those people should be voting members.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you're up for nomination or your peers are up for nomination, people y'all like and support, they should be able to lean on you and say, hey, vote for me.
Yeah.
Make sure you vote for me.
Yeah.
Because other races and other cultures are doing that. I do believe in the power of what the Recording Academy can do for you. Look at the stream spike for Harry Styles after winning Album of the Year. All right, let's say even if the streams for The Weeknd even went crazy the day of the Grammys, right? It's an opportunity. The opportunity that's given when you're on that stage and when you win, it means so much for your career. For the rest of your life, you're Grammy Award winning, right? Mm-hmm. Or even Grammy nominated. It's for the rest of your career. And what it does for us as a people, it makes sure that we're represented on music's highest stage as we should. And I think that people say to us, we should make our own Grammys. They don't treat us right. Let's make our own Grammys. And it's like, as Black people, we've been having to make our own thing after building their thing for too long. I'm not making another one. I made this one. My people made this one. And I want to be represented properly. And I'm going to fight to make sure I am. And look at the changes that have been made. Look at that stage. Look at that front, that whole Lizzo winning the perform. Look at Samara Joy winning Best New Artist. Yeah. Think about Beyonce breaking the record on television. Think about last year when you got Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak getting on stage winning award. When you got D. Miles getting on stage on television, on the telecast winning the award. When you got John Baptiste winning Best New Album of the Year. Mm-hmm. Think about all these things that change. Our faces are being seen. Our energy is being felt. But we just got to keep pushing. We have to keep pushing. And by the way, I'm not saying this because I think the Grammys have gotten it right. I don't want you guys to think that I'm like, the Grammy. I went to the Grammys and it's just an incredible. No. They have not always gotten it right, but they are hungry and starving to get it right. When I'm in the boardrooms, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm around a lot of people that don't look like me, and I'm expecting resistance when I say this, and I'm not getting it, bro. I'm being very honest with you, and I would say it. There are white people in that room that says, Rico, tell us what needs to happen. You closer to it. What needs to happen? Can we sit down with blah, blah, blah? You think they'll come? You think they'll show up? And I ask artists a lot to show up. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
What don't you like? Let's fix it. Let's figure out how to do it, because a lot has changed. Now, a complete change is not going to happen all at once.
Right.
But if we become voting members, people from the outside looking in, the people in the comment section, they always going to have their whole conspiracy theories about whatever exists. But for those of us who are actually in the business, and I don't mean major label, you don't have to be major recording artist to be a voting member.
No.
You just have to meet the release requirements. Mm-hmm. You meet those release requirements and you're active. You get in front of that membership board and you will be a member. You vote every time it comes up. We sit on social media all day. Right. Grab that phone when the voting comes up and you vote for the people that you agree and believe should win, and you'll be a voice for the people who aren't getting the visibility. PJ Morton has 4 Grammys.
Yeah.
My man Jay Ivey.
Independently.
Independently. Mm-hmm. My man Jay Ivey just won Best Spoken Word Album, and he was on the Tennessee State University album. So I look at those things and I say to myself, these are people who don't have national recognition, number one records.
Robert Glasper.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're in those rooms, and they're going to be tough even with the whole situation when they were like, why is Chris Brown and Robert Glasper in the same category? You have to understand that there are rooms put together for people to debate on how these things go and try to understand, and they're trying to figure things out.
And we can make adjustments.
And they have to make adjustments, but then sometimes you got to understand, if you're not in that room and knowing what they were up against, what if they were trying to put Glasper in Best Jazz, and he was like, well, it's not a jazz record, and jazz say, we don't think it's jazz. And what if he's trying to put him in this category, and they say, it doesn't work this way? You never know the situation. Yeah. Either way, if there are changes that need to be made and things you don't agree with, staying on the outside is not going to answer it. The problem is going to be solved if we get involved.
Yeah.
And I have such a voice in the building, and they respected my voice. Think about this. As a black man, I served as a governor in the Florida chapter for one term. I was elected to the trustee, National Board of Trustees, after one term. After one term serving as a trustee, I'm now the vice chairman of the Recording Academy. What does that mean? That means that these people heard me, they felt my energy, and they trusted that I had the best interests of the Recording Academy. And every day I speak up for African Americans, for people of color, for women, and they do not bat an eye. I don't get resistance. I don't get people saying, man, I don't know. I go in there and we fight and we make things happen, and change has to happen over time. I just think that people should recognize all the change that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that I understand that there's a lot more change that needs to happen, but I need you all to come. So as the chair of the BMC, and I'm going to end it here, as the chair of the BMC, my goal is to make sure that we will travel this country, do many outreach events, reach out to executives, independent artists, independent A&R. If you want to be a manager, if you want to study a music in some way, we want to reach out our hand to you and build a relationship with you. And we want to make sure that the voting body reflects the music that's being created and being produced, that the people that vote look like us and understand where we come from,
yeah,
and can relate to us. Jasmine Sullivan getting on that stage last year on television is major. That's an incredible look for a soul artist who's never had a pop hit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who's had hits, records, strong records, but didn't cross her music over. She didn't compromise who she was as a creative in order to get a Grammy or to sell a million records. She got up on that stage and won. That has to show you that the tides are turning and things are changing. And I want to be a part of that change, but I also want you to be a part of that change with me. And I want you to be a part of that change with me. And I want us to be able to speak up. Because either way, we're going to speak up, right? Either way, we're going to talk shit about what we don't like, right?
Absolutely.
Why don't we talk shit from the inside and say, let's change it?
Yeah.
And if I feel like I'm in that place, and I give you guys my word, if I ever felt like I was in that space and I felt like nobody was respecting the change that I wanted to see, I would be out. I would walk away from it.
Hmm.
But that's not what I'm seeing. That's not what I'm feeling. I'm feeling a lot of love and a lot of people who are just expressing and admitting to the certain ignorances that they may have about our culture. But they all recognize the influence that we've had on the world. And if they didn't, I wouldn't be involved. Because you already know what type of time I'm always on. I'm always about us. I'm always about the culture.
Amen.
Wow.
Rico Love.
Wow. No, man. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Quite simply said, man.
thank you for being here.
Nah, we appreciate you, bro.
Thank you for that. Thank you. And you got me excited.
Tank ready.
You know what I'm saying? You got me. You know what I'm saying?
Tank ready. Well, he want a chair. Yeah, between, Tank want a chair.
Between you and Harvey, man, I want a chair. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me get in here. Let's talk. But I mean, the key thing you said is that, yeah, let's be the change.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get in here, and because the doors aren't closed to us.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part that we all miss, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The doors are open to us.
It's available.
It's available. You really want to get in here and do something.
Mm-hmm.
The R&B Money podcast family, the R&B Money family, we're getting involved.
Absolutely. And we support the BMC.
Yep.
Yes.
100%.
So I suggest we do an event here in LA. We invite all musicians, all music creatives. We make it a whole BMC R&B Money collaboration. We do something very sexy and fly, and we bring people together, and then we pick out the top two or three incredibly talented artists who are on the verge, who are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We allow them to perform, we talk to them, and we educate them about the process and what the Recording Academy represents and how we invest in artists and how we make sure we protect artists with our Music Cares program, how we protect artists with our advocacy work. Believe it or not, the Grammys is a nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, they're not making a ton of money and banking money. We're giving money every year to music creators who need it. If a person is got a bad heart and they don't have insurance, but now they do music full time, they come to Music Cares and we're going to take care of them. So when you say fuck the Grammys, you're saying fuck all the millions of dollars we've donated to helping other people without asking anything in return and without turning anybody away. So that show that we do is great. When you see us at the BMC Honors with our tuxes and we looking fly and y'all showing up for that, that's great. But everybody who showed up, I'm asking you to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody begged me for tickets for BMC this year. Everybody's trying to be on the list next year already. All I'm saying is show up for the artists and show up for ourselves as black creatives and make sure that we do the work. It's something I'm super passionate about. This is nothing you can fake. The time that we spent doing this stuff is genuine because I'm an artist and I'm a creative. And I believe in creatives, and I believe in developing and teaching and growing and holding our hand out there. And by the way, they support me 100%.
Yeah. So let's do that.
Let's create the R&B Money BMC collaboration event, and we bring people there and we educate them on the Recording Academy. We have a dialogue like this, and we allow artists to come up and perform and give the voting members an opportunity to see them. Now imagine if you're in a room full of Grammy voting members and you perform and they're like, I remember you.
Yeah,
so now when your name shows up on that ballot, people are like, oh, I remember Shorty. Yeah. She was at the joint.
Yeah.
I like her album. Let me check this out. Let me vote for her. That's a simple. Let's do that. Let's make sure we make a.
You already know how we get out.
Yes.
If we say yeah,
let's do it.
It's done.
Let's do it.
We in.
Wow.
Let's make that happen.
Grey Goose, help us,
Mister. Call him out. Yeah. man, amazing, creative, amazing human being. You know, you like a brother to us, man.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You're a loved
one,
man.
For real. So, loving to hear the mountaintops and the valley lows and more mountaintops and more valley lows. You know what I'm saying?
It's life.
Yeah. It's life, man. And I think that people really need to hear that and know that it's okay to go through that.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's another day.
Mm-hmm.
Jay always say, this is like the lottery, right? And doing music is like the lottery.
It's a lottery.
You could write you one song, be broke yesterday and tomorrow.
Change everything.
Sheesh.
What Glorilla say? Tomorrow.
Yeah.
But tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
But tomorrow.
But tomorrow. So we thank you for everything, man. And that is a big thank you, man. That encompasses the entire universe of who and what you are.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate you, man. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things R&B.
Yeah.
And Rico Love, man.
R&B Money!
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/RMB Money.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.